So my name is Kai Hsu. I'm 23 years old. Today is July 14th, 2019, and I'm speaking with my grandpa, whose name is
Stephen Gale McLoney, but the family calls me Bubbles. I'm 135 pounds, 5'2".
You're taller than 5'2".
5'8".
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You can't be a Bubbles at 5'2", at 5'8".
That's right.
So, now, what would you like to ask me, or what would you like to talk about?
Sure. So, I was thinking, maybe you could tell me a little bit about your childhood, and what were you like as a child?
I was... As a little person, I liked playing baseball a lot, and I just played it whenever I could. And as a child, I grew up pretty much in a place called Escondido and El Cajon. Now, Escondido was a nice little community at the time, and my mother taught kindergarten, and I was a student of hers. And one day, instead of calling her Mrs. McLoney, I said, "Mom," and all the other kids kept saying, "She's not your mom, she's not your mom." And so I had to say, "Mrs. McLoney."
Did your mom ever talk to you about that day?
Well, she was my teacher.
Yeah, but did she say, "Call me"?
That was way into the school year when I did that.
Oh, that's funny.
It was like...
And nobody knew that she was your mom?
Nobody knew that we were related at all.
Wow.
None of the students did.
Yeah.
And let's see. And then I went to kindergarten, first, second, and third grade in Escondido. I didn't do real well in third grade, so I had to do it over because I was just not a good learner. Anyhow, and that teacher's name was Mrs. Miracle, and she was a neat lady. I really liked her. Then we moved from Escondido up to what was called Mesa. La Mesa in San Diego, and we were near Mount Helix,
mm-hmm.
And one of the best things I can remember about being up there was I had built a soapbox derby.
Okay,
and my neighbor and I, he was 5 or 6 years older than me. So we got the soapbox derby. We took those little blocks off of the inside that allows you to steer, that stopped you from steering too much when you went down the hill,
mm-hmm.
in the soapbox derby. So we took that off, everything, and there's this great big long hill that was by my house. It went down about 2.5 miles, just
straight downhill.
Just downhill, you're going. So Jack West and myself, I got in there. Jack got on the back part with his feet on either side where the wheels were hung out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So anyhow, we put it on this one road that goes way the heck down to El Campo. So there we are, tooling down this road, and it kept getting faster and faster and faster. So anyhow,
how'd you stop?
There's a little break, and we ran out of downhill. So anyhow, we're tooling down this road, and there's a car in front of us. So So I swung out and around, and we passed him up, and Jack was on the back, and he raises up and says, hi, and back down, and on we went. We were lucky we didn't get hurt. That's all I know.
So you were always finding things to do.
Yeah, and one of the other neat things about living there was this big tree that sort of formed a Y.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack went and got some surgical tubing, and we made a little, like a little basket. We put water balloons in it,
mm-hmm.
and we could shoot it way downhill. You just get back, and we tied it to the tree.
Uh-huh.
We had the Y, so it was like a slingshot, and we'd pull it back, and we'd shoot it down at this one guy's house and hit on the roof.
Why'd you choose that guy's house?
Because it was the only one down there. So anyhow, after we would shoot one down there and was hitting it, wham, you could hear it. You know? And then the guy would come out and look around wondering what the heck was going on. He'd go back in and we'd shoot another. We didn't get caught that way because that was about 100 and some yards down the hill.
That's funny. So you had a pretty eventful childhood.
Oh, yeah, I was always creating problems. And the one that I remember most about having an eventful childhood mm-hmm. was, I don't know how old I was, probably 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
and this lady that lived next to us had beautiful flowers out in front on her porch coming down.
Okay.
You know, and I was a pirate that day, and I was over there fighting the bushes, knocking this stuff down, you know, and she drives up and she says, "What are you doing?" And of course, off I jumped and ran towards some place. I don't know where I was going. Wasn't home, I know that. And I still remember her saying, "I know who you are. I know where you live. I know your mom and dad." And I'm running with this little wood sword down the road. So anyhow, my punishment for that was I had to work at her house for 3 weekends, either cutting the grass and pulling weeds, and just doing anything she said for 3 weekends. And I learned my lesson not to do that.
So when I think about my childhood listening to yours,
uh-huh.
I think about how you and Nani,
uh-huh.
my grandma,
uh-huh.
how big of a role you played in my childhood.
Uh-huh.
What were your grandparents like, and what was your relationship with them?
They lived back in Arkansas and Kentucky, so I didn't get to see them very much.
Okay.
I don't remember much about them. And on my dad's side, I never met him because his dad passed away when he was 12 years old.
Okay.
So that wasn't...
Do you feel like the relationship between grandparents and their grandchildren has changed?
Oh,
less,
yeah.
Less formal,
yeah.
I guess?
No, it's terrible. When I was growing up, all kinds of people teased you and did little things, mm-hmm. you know, that... You got to know older people just through the communication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a pedophile or you're this or you're that if you're dinking around just teasing or and getting to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's terrible. And your mom and my wife wouldn't let me tease you guys much. It's bad for their libido. Horse manure
no,
thing.
You would tease us a lot.
Huh?
You would tease me and Keahi a lot.
Yeah, but I got in trouble for it. So that's how it worked.
so moving on, are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today? Or any negative events that also that you...
No, the only events that probably shaped my life as I am today was I started working after schools and summers in the tile business when I was about 14. And the people... I worked after school, summers, mm-hmm. and then when I got out of high school, I went right to work for a tile shop. That probably had the most influence, the type of people that were there and what's mm-hmm. going on. And that's about it as far as the major event that shaped what I did, because I did it for over 50-some years.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't change or get out of it.
How is it? Was that different from what a lot of your brothers and sisters were doing, or at least your parents?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My brother went on to college and he finally got his doctor's at the same school my dad got his at UCLA mm-hmm. in the same department. So it was quite unusual for a father and son to get their doctors in the same department at UCLA. Both mm-hmm. of them got it there.
Okay.
So that was different. My sister just got married and moved up north, and mm-hmm. she was a pretty good loon, you know. She wasn't the best mom by any means. Mm-hmm. Grandpa and Grandma Mac, my grandpa and Grandma Mac, took care of three of the kids, and then we took over, Pam and I took over raising a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can really say about my mom and dad's children.
Okay.
So, or is it offspring?
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Sure. Got a lot of them, I think. But one of the most difficult moments in my life. Probably, all in all, is right about is now one of my most difficult times with growing old mm-hmm. and stuff. My wife gets a little upset quick all the time anymore, so it's like walking on eggshells when I'm around her.
Mm-hmm.
And we got up this morning planning to do some things. One was walk the dog. Two, have some breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Three, she was going to get on the little deal in the teeter-totter thing. What's it called?
The teeter.
Huh?
The teeter.
Yeah. And get stretched out, and she was going to do some stretching out. And the only thing that got done was I got up and got some cereal and ate. And then we went over to the shoes house.
Yep.
And that was fun. But right now, just life itself is sort of a hassle as you get older, and the pains and all the other stuff that go with it mm-hmm. is lousy. Other than that, I've had a great life.
Yeah.
Probably the worst for everybody was the period that I'm an alcoholic, and the period that I was drinking was mm-hmm. a bad time for probably everybody. But
that wasn't necessarily the most difficult for you. No. I can understand that, though,
yeah.
because
I was pickled all the time. So that wasn't the most difficult. But the difficult time now is aging
yeah.
for me. Yeah. And I'm still pretty active in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I've got a good body that I can walk and do things at 77 that a lot of my friends can't. So I'm happy in one way.
That is good.
You know.
So can you tell me about one of your happiest moments in life?
Okay. Well, I think one of my happiest moments in my life was when we all get together and it's your family and my offsprings and everything, and we're all together, and just everybody being there is really exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And 'cause my son, who name is Jason, wanted to be a gal, so he changed his name to Alyssa. And I come to think of it, that's probably one of the most miserable things that's happened to me, is that your son wants to be something that they're not, and that person isn't who he used to be, and I don't even care to be around them. So that'd be a miserable, hard time, come to think of it. And the good times are actually when I'm with you, Kai. I enjoy the hell out of it just being with you. And so, you know, life, like I said, life's been good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very fortunate for Pam.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She's actually, she's the person that's pulled this family together in all kinds of different ways. The grandkids like her. She goes out and does neat things for people. She's a wonderful person, and she does marvelous things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say one of the best times I've had is when she came back from Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and we just got together again,
yeah.
and enjoyed. Yeah, that's probably one of my happiest times.
It seems like for a period of time when Nani was in Oregon, and it was like kind of in the middle of the financial crisis, so a lot of stuff was going on all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems we've recovered a little bit, Nani's back.
Yeah.
I think as I got older and I really started to appreciate how important family is.
Uh-huh.
And I think since then we've had more family moments than we did during that period of time.
Oh, yeah. And there were good family moments. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, of course, none of us sat around going, woe is me.
Yeah.
That wasn't there. It is what it is, and you just work through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all.
You want to take a drink of water?
Yeah.
Because you've been talking a lot.
I've been gabbing a lot. Okay. Oh.
So you've gone through more trials than I think a lot of people go through in life.
Probably.
I would say, you know, you've worked really hard, like very manual labor.
Mm-hmm.
You've had to deal with being an alcoholic.
Yeah.
You've had to deal with the transformation of your son becoming a woman. What are some of the most important lessons that you've learned from all of that? And aging, and just everything.
Yeah, all of that. Just take all the whatever's happening one day at a time,
mm-hmm.
and don't dwell on it.
Okay.
That's, you know, I that's the way I have to be. I have to have humor to make my day better. I use humor for myself or whatever to feel better a lot of times. I know that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm. I just Laughing and being around people that were when we're smiling, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That part of it. So.
Yeah, I would agree. So what? How would you like to be remembered, Bubbles? When I tell my grandchildren and everything.
Yeah. That I was a hard worker. That I was honest.
Mm-hmm.
That I cared a lot about people, even though it may not seem like I did. You know, and animals. I liked animals.
Yeah.
You know, and not necessarily the kind you eat, but the puppy dogs and things like that.
Yeah.
Animals. And. I don't know. I try to really be as good and kind of person that as I can be. And I think all of that kind of stuff everybody has. They just have to work at it to make it flourish.
Okay. Is there anything that you want to tell me now that you've never told me before?
Let's see. What would I tell you? Yeah, I don't know if I'm pretty sure I've told you before, but I really, really think that you have more compassion in your little finger than most people do in their whole body. I really feel that way about you, that you're, and family is probably most important to you of all the things that the qualities that you have. Family is something that really pulls your heartstrings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you have a favorite memory of me in our time together?
Yeah, I do.
Which one?
We were in Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
And you got this little hat on. I got a picture of it.
Yeah, still. Yeah.
And that was so neat. I'm holding you. You got this little hat on. I got my hat on. And they took the picture, and it's like, what are we doing here? That's exactly what the look you had, like, I'm ready to go. And I don't know where we would go, but you were ready to go. I love that little picture.
What did we do that day?
Your dad, you, and I were going around seeing some of the Buddhist temples and stuff. And
uh-huh.
We were out someplace where there was all kinds of food and other stuff going on.
Okay.
We had just got through seeing Chiang Kai-shek's house, not the memorial.
It's not the memorial.
No, it was where he lived at one time or whatever. And that's what we were doing at that time. So, you know, and one of the things that I remember most is when you guys were moving to Arizona, to the house that your mom and dad is in now.
Uh-huh.
And we were doing the stone floor over there. And you wanted to come over here for whatever reason. It was cooler, it was something. I don't know. Anyhow, you're making me tired, you'd tell your dad. You're making me tired. I'll just go sit over in the corner. The next time you said, you're making me hungry. Get ready, we're leaving. So, some things, there's been a lot of fun little stuff that you've been around that I really enjoy. So
what are some of your hopes and wishes for me going forward and then for my children?
Okay, that's pretty, I got a good idea what my hopes and wishes are for you.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I'm going to tell you that I think you're going to be very, very successful financially.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I think you're going to really help keep your mom and dad and your little brother aware of what's going on because of the position where you're at. That's mm-hmm. what I see you doing.
Okay.
And I think you are just, you have a tendency to inspire people who are around you. And that's a gift that, you know, it just comes natural to you. Other people have to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a gift from your higher power to you.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Your children, I don't want to be. I wouldn't want to be in your generation right now.
Really?
No, I would not. I think you're going to see the collapse of what the U.S. is about. I think there's going to be some terrible, terrible hard times. I think things that we think of are part of being here in the United States will be taken away.
Such as?
If government keeps doing some of the stuff it's doing, it's going to make life fairly miserable. One is they don't care about the waterways. They keep dumping stuff into it.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to, what kind of water are you going to be drinking?
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many little things coming your way right now that I think are going to be tough to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Just the choices that these people in power are making. It's not for you. It's for the one percenters, as they call them. And when that's happening, you know, I think it's really going to be tough. And for your grandchildren, I can't imagine what the world will even be like for them.
Yeah.
You know, here they're trying to put driverless cars on the road. And I'm thinking, damn, I wish I had enough insurance. I'd run into one. Just to see how far it rolls. So, anyhow, I just don't think it's going to be a lot of pleasure in general. Like your free agencies that you have now
mm-hmm.
will be taken away.
Okay.
That's really what I think. And once your free agency is taken away,
mm-hmm.
I don't think life's going to be a lot of fun. But you also have to remember that your free agency is, in a lot of ways, can be between your ears, your mind mm-hmm. going on, and
yeah.
how you feel about stuff like that. But the physical parts are going to be sort of miserable, I think. So, I don't know.
Is there, different question, is there anything that you've never asked me that you would like to ask me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come you and Taylor could be together all the time when you were just in high school and
uh-huh.
stuff? You know, did your mom and dad ever say, "You guys can't go dinking around the way you are"?
Yeah. No. They. I don't know. I think my parents were. They're like some supportive somewhat, but mm-hmm. not completely in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. And I don't know if that has to do with their relationship with each other, where they feel like they got married too early or whatnot. And
yeah.
I think they were afraid that would be my situation.
Mm-hmm.
So they never said, don't do what you're doing, but
mm-hmm.
I never felt 100% support from them.
Yeah.
So because of that, for me, it always feels kind of weird talking about my relationship with them because I just don't feel like there was 100% support, which I understand, especially when you start dating in college and all throughout college and everything.
I thought it was neat.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
you were living life on your terms. You weren't being so influenced that you couldn't do the things you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You were mature enough after high school to handle all that.
Yeah.
So why not? You know, who in the hell?
Yeah.
All that old time stuff about being together and this and that and got to be married and all that, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It is. Just find somebody you really get along with, great, mm-hmm. and enjoy.
Okay.
That's my advice to you on that.
That's good advice.
Yeah. And just, and don't take life too serious. Period.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you can do is be worried about what's going on and how's this going to get done. Shit, it always, life takes care of itself.
It really does.
You don't have to try and maneuver it.
So, I'd like to take a second and just tell you how much you mean to me. And
yeah, good.
Because Bubbles, I think we give Nani a lot of credit, and we talk about Nani being, you know, holding the family together, but I really think of it as both of you holding the family together. I think without you in our life, we'd be too serious a lot of the time. I think you bring a lot of relief, and I think
now,
perspective.
Is that spelled R-O-L-A-I-D-S, roll age? Relief?
Yeah.
That's how the ad was.
Really?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'll tell you what. There was a survey done in Texas.
Okay.
And you happen to be there.
Yeah, I do happen to be there now.
Okay, they got a bunch of senior high school kids, okay? And they quizzed them on things. One was, upon graduation, does the government owe you a living some way or another?
Okay.
You know, provide for you a little bit, or you work, you know?
Yeah.
And the other one was, how do you spell relief? That was what they asked.
Okay.
And there was a huge amount of students that spelled R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Roll AIDS, because they had seen so many ads about relief, and it was spelled Roll AIDS, they thought that's how you spelled relief.
What?
Yeah, and let's see, there were some other really oddball things that these students...
Was this recent? This was recent?
Oh, it was... Probably 20 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I have to look up that ad.
Yeah. Roll Aid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of that stuff the kids 20 years ago or the people that were in high school 20 years ago, they haven't learned to work. People today do not know how to work. You know, they just don't. And not that that's good, bad, or indifferent, but...
Did old people say the same thing to you when you were a kid or no? Or like when you were younger?
That I didn't know how to work?
Yeah, or that your generation...
Well, I can tell you I didn't know how to work.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a deal that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa Mac told me I had to weed this little area. When I got done with it, I could go play.
Yeah.
Okay? If I'd have jumped on that son of a gun and really got to it and stuff, 10 minutes I could have been out playing.
Yeah.
3 hours later, I'm still pulling these things, you know, like, oh, I hate this. You know? And so I didn't know how to work a lot until the guys from World War II got back and chewed on me at work.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
But yeah, I think you're so important to our family, and I love you so much. And I value every second we get to spend together, because I think you give so much insight, and you put things in perspective, having lived so long and been through a lot of the challenges that you've been through. And I enjoy spending time with you, picking your brain, hearing what you have to say, and everything you say, whether I agree with it or not, I think it adds so much richness to my life. Yeah. And I just want to thank you for all of the memories and for being who you are. And I hope to spend more years together.
Me too.
Yeah, and we will.
See, in the near future, I want to come to Texas and see what that place is like where you're at.
Yeah.
Or to this great sucking sound. Who was that?
Rock Perot.
If you're working for him, wherever that would be, Louisiana or who knows, that would be fun.
Yeah.
See, this is what the rich and famous do. What are you doing, Grandpa? I'm sitting down. So that would, but I'm glad you really love me, and I know it. That's the funny thing about it that I've been saying, that you are just, it comes across just as it is, and that's what's neat about you, you know? So I'm real proud of you. I talk about you all the time up at Starbucks, you know, mentioning how you do things, and that you're probably my most favorite grandchild. I already know that, you know. And I think that what makes me really think of you as my most favorite grandchild is the compassion you have in you. It can be the littlest thing, and you just seem to know that person needs water like you gave me today, you know, and stuff like that. You're just aware of other people, and that's one of the neatest things there is to have a person in my life like you that sees these things. It makes me say your generation is going to succeed. It does, but you're going to have some rough road to hike, you know, and I don't want to be part of that.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it just gets to be wonderful to be loved by you. That's all I can say.
Okay.
You know, it's really wonderful to be loved by you. And that's,
well, thanks. I love you.
I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. And
I think that'll conclude our interview.
Okay.
But yeah, so now what happens is it gets saved. There's two things. One thing that can happen is it can be uploaded to, I get to keep it on my cell phone and keep it just for our family on whatever hard drive that I have, or it can go to the Library of Congress where it's uploaded and it stays there forever, so that in the future, if any of our relatives wanted to look up this interview and see what life was like and how we thought, they could do that. So which one of those would you prefer?
Actually, my boy, I don't give a damn.
All right, well, that's good then. Yeah. That's good to hear.
It's your choice.
Okay.
It's your cell phone.
Yeah. All right.
Who in the hell is that old guy?
Yeah. That's funny. Cool.
Yeah. It's up to you.
Okay.